Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, broadcasting from Fool Global Headquarters here in Alexandria, Virginia. Here each week to talk about the motley world of money and investing. Happy New Year's. On today's show, the power of Google, the top 10 stocks of the last 10 years, and some business lessons from the encyclopedia of all places. But we begin this week by looking at the year ahead with Motley Fool analyst Stephen Simpson. Stephen, welcome.
Thanks for having me back.
Stephen, let's talk about the stock market in 2006. How about a few companies that intrigue you for the year ahead?
Well, I'll tell you, there's two that I just bought in the past week or so that I'm definitely interested in. One of them is Mittal Steel, the world's largest steel maker. The other is J.P. Morgan, which is a pretty well-known investment bank and commercial bank and credit card provider and just general financial company. And you know, that's an area I'm looking at for this year, with the financials, that is, because I'm thinking sooner or later the Fed is going to stop raising rates. And when they do that, you want to be well-placed to take advantage of some of these financials that have gotten really cheap.
Let's talk a little bit about Mittal Steel. What is it? Is it the steel industry in general or how that company is positioned?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of both. The steel industry is largely a global economic industry. You know, global economic growth means more steel demand. And Mittal has been going around all over the world buying these great little steel companies that have been badly run and buying them at good prices. And so they have assets all around the world. They're increasingly self-sufficient in coal and iron ore. And the stock is just cheap. It's just simply cheap. And I'm always a big fan of finding bargains like that.
And you mentioned that you thought the Fed would stop raising interest rates at some point. For those who don't understand the connection, can you connect that with the idea of investing in J.P. Morgan?
Well, basically, it's just one of those little rules of the market that usually proves accurate, that when the Fed is raising rates, banks and financials just don't tend to do well. And what we've seen in this case, for example, is everyone's talking about the flat yield curve or the inverted yield curve or what have you. And what's been happening is the Fed's been raising those short-term rates, but competition on the long end of the yield curve, like for 5-year bonds, 10-year bonds, has kept those rates low. And so banks are having a heck of a time trying to lend and borrow the money they need to lend, like through deposits, and make money on the spread. And once the Fed backs off, you should see that yield curve start to steepen a little bit. The short-term rates will be lower than the long-term rates, and then the banks can go back to making their money.
And your money is where your mouth is, as you mentioned, on both those stocks. Can you give us ticker symbols?
Sure. For J.P. Morgan, it's JPM, and for Mittal Steel, it's MT.
Stephen, looking ahead again at 2006, what is on your to-avoid list?
You know, I'm cautious about avoiding entire industries. I would rather avoid bad stocks, because usually even the worst industry will have some bright light to it that you can invest in. That said, I'm a little worried about, you know, the energy technology and alternative energy stocks. A lot of them had superb runs this past year based on high oil and gas. And a lot of these companies are still, you know, 5 years, 10 years, or even more years away from having a really viable product. So valuations can get a little stretched there. I'm a little concerned about energy, not because I think oil or gas is going to go down, but I just don't think we're going to have another year of rising oil prices quite like we did this last year. And so stock selection is going to be more important. You can't just buy any old oil company and expect to see another 40, 50% run from it.
I certainly remain almost probably permanently bearish on Blockbuster Video and Movie Gallery, the bricks and mortar retail chains obviously renting videos. Do you want to do anything to dissuade me from that?
Well, you know, retail in general is going to get tricky. I'm a little bit scared about what I would call the high dollar value retail, you know, the really expensive TVs, the really expensive jeans, the really expensive shoes or handbags, just because as the economy goes the way it's going and the housing boom kind of slows down, I'm not sure we're going to see quite as much money freed up for those somewhat frivolous purchases. And then in the case of those, you know, Blockbuster type stocks you mentioned, you know, this is a case where internet is killing them. And, you know, frankly, new innovative companies are killing them. And you just need to be real careful when you go into a retail stock to make sure that there isn't someone like Amazon, you know, breathing down their neck.
And one other company that I'm bearish on for this year, I'm curious your take, General Motors, maybe by extension Ford. These have been very weak stocks. Do you think things get better for the American automakers?
I don't see why, because the one thing I haven't seen out of General Motors is an admission of blame. They don't want to take the blame for screwing up. And I'm a big fan of turnaround stocks and turnaround situations, but you usually can't turn it around until you admit you screwed it up. And so, you know, I think the Japanese companies are going to keep hammering them. You know, Ford, I'd certainly take Ford over GM. Mm-hmm. Ford maybe has a chance of coming back around, but I would be really careful with GM.
Mm. Let's talk about the internet a little bit. How about Google? Can Google keep its mojo in 2006? Again, a company now worth over $100 billion.
Yeah, the company, absolutely. The stock, I don't know. I mean, this is a company that shows no signs of slowing down. I mean, they are doing just about everything right so far. The stock, though, seems to be priced for not only perfection, but whatever that next level above perfection is. So if you're buying it up in this area, you are taking some big risks, and there had better not be even so much as a single hiccup, or that stock could get hit hard and fast.
Stephen, I'm going to put the Motley Fool squirt gun at your head, and I'm going to force you to buy one of these three stocks for three-year price appreciation. Which is the best bet next 3 years, Google, Yahoo, or Microsoft?
Microsoft.
In five words, why?
Best valuation of the bunch.
That was close. Well done. Finally, Stephen, what's next for Apple Computer, a very relevant stock, one of the most owned and talked about companies in America?
You know, I'm going to answer that with something you really never hear from analysts. I have no idea. The thing with Apple is anything you expect or predict about them, you're going to be wrong, because Steve Jobs is such an oddball. He's a brilliant oddball. But he thinks of things in such a different way. I have no idea. The only thing I will say is I'm almost certain it's going to involve more digital media, bringing more, better, richer content to the individual person. And, you know, maybe that takes the form of some device that, you know, you can make phone calls, watch HD TV, play music, shave, whiten your teeth, and mow your lawn. I have no idea.
And it's a reminder that we as investors aren't forced to buy every stock at all. I also like to just walk away from situations if I don't feel as if I know enough. So let me close with this then. Stephen, how about one special sauce investment tip from you, sir? Something that our investors can use in the year ahead.
Be very, very careful of listening to the hype you're going to hear. You're going to hear Fed's done raising rates, going to go buy bank stocks. You're going to hear semiconductors are back on the run, buy them all up. Do your own due diligence, be very skeptical, and just remember, nobody else is looking out for you except for you.
Words to live by. So we talked about J.P. Morgan, Mittal Steel, Microsoft, Google, General Motors, just to name a few. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You can read Stephen Simpson's take each day throughout the week at The Motley Fool online at Fool.com. You can read a host of other Motley Fool takes as well. One of my favorites this week was an article by Tim Hansen looking at the top 10 performing stocks of the last 10 years, and some of the names may surprise you. Number one, Hansen Natural, no connection to our writer Tim Hansen, maker of natural sodas and fruit juices, Hansen up over 24,000% over the last 10 years. That's 240 times your money. Number two on the list, the fashion retailer Chico's, up only around 17,600% over the last decade. And rounding out the top 10 performing stocks of the last 10 years, home builder and mortgage company NVR, a second women's retailer, Christopher & Banks, another home builder, Meritage Homes, American Eagle Outfitters on the list as well, Comtech Telecommunications, SCP Pool, which sells swimming pool supplies, Engineered Support Systems, that's a company, and Joseph A. Bank. It's worth noting that none of these companies were worth more than $200 million 10 years ago. And even after 10 years of incredible growth, seven of them are still considered small-cap stocks. It's a proof positive that Wall Street's top performers are sometimes the small fries. To read more about these companies and other investment ideas, check out our Motley Fool website, fool.com.